Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Hey, now. Welcome inside the playbook for a Thursday. It's Chicago game week. Everybody's feeling pretty good about themselves. Patriots feeling pretty good about themselves. Boston fans in general feeling pretty good about themselves. I just told Eric the story this morning. I'm in the shower this morning, and then, you know, I guess I'm in mid-rinse cycle or whatever, and my teenage son, Austin, comes bolting in, standing in his, you know, his boxers and
skivvies.
His skivvies and his T-shirt. He goes, "Dad! They just signed freaking Carl Crawford." And I'm like, no, that's not going to happen.
And you said,
you
said
they
who?
I texted everybody at like 12 last night.
Well, then how come I didn't get one?
I didn't want to wake you up.
I wouldn't want to have a text.
My phone's off at that time of night, pal. So
that's true.
If somebody you know, doesn't get me before like 11:30, phone goes off, that's it. You won't get me.
Eric just said he would be creeped out, so I didn't.
Yeah, I don't want to hear from you.
Yeah. Right. I don't take offense.
Unless you were trying to get a lunch order for the next day, then maybe.
Of course, it's all about the food. It's always about the food. So there's good reason for plenty of positive vibe around here this week. What an extraordinary week it has been, starting obviously with Monday night, and then, you know, with what the Sox did yesterday and what they continue to do. It's a great time. And, you know, what we were just talking about with Paul and Andy, Eric.
Yeah.
The fact remains is that, and you and I mentioned this yesterday, it's a little bit hard to comprehend right now because I've never before Monday night, say it about, 11:30 or 12, I've never before this year thought that this team was really a Super Bowl a caliber team. In other words, belonged in the conversation or in the same sentence or in the same paragraph as the phrase Super Bowl. Mm. But now they are. They very much are. And so, I don't know, does that make it a pleasant surprise? I would say yes.
Yes, it does, sure.
Very pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
But does it set up expectations that are unrealistic based on what the current landscape is in professional football?
No, because Patriots fans have come to expect Super Bowls or bust from this team, this coach, right, this quarterback, this owner. So expectations were already there.
But what if this team, well, I guess where I'm going with that then is what if this team, now that we think it's a Super Bowl caliber team, what if this team fails to get there?
It'll be just like any other year that they fail to get there. People will be as disappointed as always.
As they always are?
Yeah.
As disappointing as last year when they got steamrolled in the opening round?
Sure.
What if we go to the playoffs and this team gets steamrolled in the opening round again?
I think that would be even more surprising. I don't see them getting steamrolled by anybody. Because I think their offense is just too potent. They can hang with anyone now.
Well, they certainly would appear to be the case if they dismantle a Jets defense that was allegedly one of the best in the league and took care of them. I mean, they're clearly gonna get another huge test again this Sunday, because not only are the Bears statistically a superior team defensively as to many teams, mm-hmm, in the league, but you've got harsh conditions that you're going to be fighting against at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
And so when you combine usually defense with weather, you know, you start getting those, you know, Green Bay Packer type of scenarios where the frozen tundra and the wind blow over the cold plains and, you know, all that kind of crap that, mm-hmm, you heard John Facenda say for years and years on NFL films. But it's true. It's true. This is how Chicago's winning games. Chicago is winning games because of their defense, because their offense has finally learned how not to turn the football over, and because of special teams, mm-hmm, kick returns. That's how they're winning. And frankly, the Patriots were winning based on their offense and special teams and just enough defense. Mm-hmm. So it's almost opposite how Chicago has been winning football games as I look at it.
Yeah,
I heard a great number this morning. Went back and looked at it and confirmed it. Chicago's offense, 21 turnovers in the first 7 games. 5 in the last 5. They've stopped turning the ball over. Jay Cutler has stopped throwing the ball away. Now, to me, the key has to be on Sunday.
Getting to Cutler?
You got to keep him hemmed in. You don't want he's very much like who we faced in recent memory that we were talking about trying to keep in the pocket.
Or
Roethlisberger.
Yes, that's
Roethlisberger,
a perfect example.
Roethlisberger is a guy who can do it on the run.
Do it on the run.
Okay?
Sure. Yep.
I think that's what we have to do with Jay Cutler. We got to force him out of the pocket. We wanted to keep Roethlisberger hemmed in, but here's a situation where, you know, I think we need to keep Cutler in the pocket because Chicago has had some lapses in their offensive line, and he can be somewhat susceptible to even an average rush, which
yep.
I think we can say the Patriots probably have average to slightly below average,
yeah.
statistically speaking.
Yeah.
Statistically speaking
yeah.
only, of course, here. But if we keep him in the pocket, I think we got a better shot at him. So I'm thinking, well, you know what? Maybe we continue to change defenses up like they kind of did with the, you know, Sanchez this last Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, cause him to think a little bit more than he really has to.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he sees something that's definitive in front of him, he decides in a split second whether or not he's got to get out of that pocket and get to his receiver or if he's got the time back there. Let's give him a little time.
Quick weather update.
Go.
From Chicago. Sunday prediction, 40% chance of precipitation, that precipitation being snow.
Right.
23 degrees for a high.
Ooh.
22 mile per hour winds.
And well, what's the low? Because the game's pretty much at night.
That's what I know I'm trying to look for because they sunset at 4:19, kickoff is at 4:15.
Wow.
So you've got a...
It won't be cold.
So it's going to be closer to the low.
A low of 7 degrees.
Low.
There you go. So it's improved. It was 2 yesterday.
Overnight low of 7 degrees. So, you know, by the time 6, 7 o'clock rolls around,
single
the sun
digits.
Will, yeah. Yeah, it'll be creeping down there. And the winds will die down a little bit, but still significant.
Hope we brought you along, Johns.
I haven't packed yet, but they'll be in there. Yep, they will.
Wow. Okay, so we're going to have harsh weather conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough to slow the Patriots down?
Slow both of them down, I think, but I don't know. I still think New England will find a way this week to do it. Weather doesn't seem to affect this team. They do well in snow games.
Well, that's also true. They've always done well in adverse condition games. You know, I don't know if it's bulletin board material or not, but I know that Brian Urlacher has been quoted as saying this week a little bit how, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but he's been saying how, you know, the Patriots are the best team in record only. And I believe that phrase has actually been used. I don't
so
know.
So he does not paying them the respect that others are.
I get the impression based on the context in which I'm reading it, out of the Chicago papers and the like, that's exactly the case. That I'm not so, you know, it's kind of like, you know, no biggie. You know, they've got are they the best team in football? Well, you know what?
Kind of like what Rex Ryan was saying last week.
A little bit.
All the experts say they're the best team. I think we are. We're going to win. Oh, that's
right.
Kind of that.
Yeah. And the,
without actually coming out and saying it.
Right. I kind of got that impression, to be honest with you. I don't know if the guys, you know, can play with any more of a chip on their shoulder than they had this last Monday, but nevertheless, there are apparently at least more than, you know, just a few doubting Thomases that will be on that side of the football field at Soldier Field on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that these guys use any of that stuff anymore, do you?
Yeah, I think they do.
Do they?
Sure.
Well, then maybe Mr. Urlacher's words have found
I mean,
their
you
way
can tell because, like, you know, what they do on the field
right.
after a big play and they celebrate by sort of mimicking what the other team usually does to
mm-hmm.
celebrate. That tells you they know all week what's been going on, what's been being said. If you were playing against somebody that didn't, you know, antagonize you, you wouldn't try to do that to them on the field. You would pay them the respect that they paid to you, wouldn't you?
Right. Yeah. Well, in theory, yes.
In theory. So when a player, you know, like Woodhead was making fun of Holmes's or was it Braylon Edwards' first down celebration and. McCourty and some of the defenders were doing the you know
I thought that was
arms
great.
Extended thing.
I thought that was great.
Yeah.
So you know that they were taking that personally. They were hearing that stuff. You know, if the team pays you the proper respect all week, you're not going to throw it back in their face if you're a decent human being.
You wouldn't think.
You wouldn't think.
But apparently it still happens.
Maybe.
And you know, I happen to think that that's probably just, you know, the competitiveness in guys, the testosterone that gets, you know, leaked out from time to time.
It's an emotional game.
It's a very emotional game, and guys say these things, whereas the Patriots have just gone about their business. You know, hey, when you win, you know, or when you lose, you say little. When you win, you say less, or whatever, you know, it was that Brady said.
I mean, maybe it was the other way around.
Whatever. Still haven't figured that one out just yet.
Although,
I've had several people Facebook me and say, it sounds better the other way.
I think it works either way.
Yeah, it does. It does. And frankly, it's an appropriate, quote-unquote, patriot way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way that I think we'd all like to envision, you know, competitors to be. It's not going to be that in reality, mm-hmm. but it's certainly the part of the patriot way of doing things over the course of the last 10 years of success they've had. All right, so let's get on top of it here. Webradio at patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Facebook page is up. You can post on Facebook. You can chat on Facebook. Your predictions for Sunday. What are the scores? What are they going to be? Is everybody on the Patriots bandwagon here? Is there anyone that feels like this is potentially a pitfall?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I'm picking them, but I'm not 100% confident about it. I, as I've said, I think this and the next game, the two NFC games they have left, are threats for them to lose.
See, here's what I thought. I thought this several weeks ago, and frankly, even because of the success, I think it even more now. They're going to lose one of these next two.
I mean, just historically, that happens.
I think they're going to lose one of these two. I don't know if it'll be this weekend or next weekend against Green Bay, and I realize Green Bay is here. I just don't have an overwhelming feeling of confidence that they get through both of these games.
Yeah.
That I think there's bound to be at least some kind of a letdown. And whether or not it happens this Sunday or after two emotional wins, let's say they win this next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the Jets and the Bears back-to-back, there's bound to be a natural letdown. There can't not be.
I'm not saying it's like they're going to get blown out or anything.
They
might not make a play at the end that they have been making or whatever.
We're not going to get a pick to stop somebody or you know, there's a slip tackle.
And I'm just using the law of averages.
Yeah.
Historically, that's what happens.
Right.
Teams have a hard time.
And frankly, would we
really together that many wins in a row?
Would we really be all that surprised? I mean, even if this team loses one more, Eric, we're still talking about going 13-3.
Sure.
Which is extraordinary.
Sure, but just the way they've been playing,
yeah,
it almost seems like they're unstoppable. The way they've been winning games, putting up points on offense, making plays on defense, it's almost like a pitcher who's in the middle mm-hmm. of a perfect game.
Sure.
You know, you just feel like everything you want to just put everything on hold and watch them because you're seeing something special.
Right.
And you know that any pitch, the perfect game can end.
Right.
Yeah, and so you're hanging on every pitch. So it's kind of like that with this team. It's like they're putting something together now that you want to just sit there and watch because you're seeing it progress in front of you.
Correct.
Game to game, half to half, it's unbelievable. But the threat is there, and these are pretty big threats these next two games.
Do we have a report from the field today?
We do. They were back outside on the lower practice field where the Revs usually train.
Right, right.
Presumably because the grass has gotten to a level on the upper fields that they've gone a lot longer than I thought. This is the first time they've practiced down on the lower fields this year. Usually September or October they're out there making the switch. So
mm-hmm.
they've gone pretty good ways here with this grass field. So they're out there, shells and sweats for today. Five players were missing. Start with a guy who was there yesterday at the walkthrough but didn't come back. That's Myron Pryor. He was, I believe, limited yesterday in the walkthrough, for what that's worth, and wasn't out there today at the start. Neither were Mike Wright and Jonathan Wilhite, who've been missing for several weeks now. You can add Patrick Chung and Brandon Spikes to that list. Unclear why they weren't out there. We'll know shortly when the report comes out around 4 o'clock. That's a little curious.
It is a little curious.
Both of them were in attendance and not listed on the report yesterday for the walkthrough. So who knows?
I still believe, even though nobody would confirm this, but I still believe that every once in a while guys get a day off for maintenance.
Yeah, it's possible. Very rare with a rookie, though, and a second-year guy.
I don't know. But when the rookie and
Chung
the
second Chung has year, had the knee. that's bothered him
that's why
in recent games. So it, maybe
he missed time.
Up.
He missed time this year because
he also didn't play much against the Jets. And I don't know if the two are related or not.
I think they felt like in that instance, and this is why Darius Butler was in there more than we're accustomed to seeing him, I think they felt like his coverage ability, such as it is, his overall speed was probably a little bit more conducive to the nickel package they played than putting Chung out there again.
Maybe. But I mean, wonder if the health issue had anything to do with it.
Well, it's possible.
Well, that could have been it
exactly, actually. You know, maybe he tweaked something that didn't allow him the ability to get out there and cover like he needed to.
And he was out there. Let's not say it's not like he didn't play. He was out there versus the Jets. He wasn't starting, and he wasn't as active as we normally see.
Correct. Derek.
That's about it from practice.
Derek from University of Arizona says, four things that worry me about the Bears. One, teams that have beat them have gotten after Jay Cutler, and the Pats cannot sack the opposing quarterback. Number two, they can get after the quarterback very well themselves. They can do it with just four guys a good majority of the time. Hello, Julius Peppers. Number three, they have the best red zone defense and are best in the league at getting off the field on third down. I'm worried about sustaining drives like they've been able to do the last few weeks. And he says, I'm having a hard time thinking the Pats will lose, and something tells me they will get it done this Sunday. By the way, I'm coming to town in 2 weeks. Hope you're doing a show. Well, yes, that's the plan.
Interesting numbers there about the Bears. I'll counter them with some interesting numbers about the Patriots offense. How about that?
Okay, go.
First in the NFL in points scored per game. Second in goal-to-go efficiency. Third in red zone scoring. Tied for third in fourth down success. And fourth in third down efficiency. So, immovable object, unstoppable force, meeting on a cold and windy, snowy day. It's going to be a good matchup.
Well, I think just because of the conditions, that's going to keep the score lower than normal.
I agree.
It usually does.
I agree.
Steve sends in his prediction right off the bat here. He says, relatively low scoring for the Pats. He says 24-14 Patriots. May trail, but I doubt it. Actually, I like that score. That's a pretty good one.
I'm not even sure either team gets to 20 points.
Derek says, interesting numbers there, Eric. That's why I took the Pats.
Good. Good man.
Okay. You gave a score, didn't you?
Not yet.
You haven't given a score?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Save it? I'll save it to when I leave. I'm still mulling it.
Are you still mulling it?
Yeah.
Really?
One of the tougher ones, John, because of the statistical matchup, but because of the intangible of the weather.
Interesting.
So I am going on the lower end of the scale, though. I just have to finalize what I want to give here.
Read this from, I don't know if you guys got, did you guys get this in from Patriot Manny from Virginia?
I don't know. I showed up at 1:30.
Okay. He says, I've seen this steamroller before. The Pats are in great shape heading out to C-Town. Tom Brady is made for cold weather, big-time games. Quarterback leader going against Jay Cutler. It's a short week, road trip. However, the Pats will answer the bell. I don't think it's an accident since Mankins, he says, please stay, and Deion have joined this team. The offensive momentum has accelerated. In addition, the defense seems to be caught up in the sense of urgency and responding to so-called experts saying how bad they are. This group has been coming up with several big plays lately against the talented teams, Colts, Steelers, Jets. How often have we seen the after-Thanksgiving display of Patriot football? As a lifelong fan since the drafting of Plunkett in 71, I'm loving every minute of the Kraft era of football ownership. On to Dallas, according to Patriot Manny from Mechanicsville, Virginia.
Hmm.
I wonder how many other Patriots fans feel that way. And I'm wondering right now, out loud, to nobody in particular here, how many other people feel like, you know, it's going to be really tough to win these next two. Now, I could be off base. Maybe they win them both. Maybe they end up running the table and going 14-2. And if they do, they're assured of getting the number one seed. That's going to happen. It could happen. Why do I feel like they're going to lose one of the next two? Am I still not sold based on what we knew about this team coming in, based on what we saw through the first, 10, 11 weeks of this season? And then because of what we saw this past Monday night, is there still a little seed of doubt, or is all doubt erased? It sounds to me like amongst a lot of the fans, Eric, all doubt is becoming erased. I'm not so sure that's the case with me.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you more. I'm cautiously optimistic. After what I've seen, But again, history tells me that it's very difficult for teams to keep this up for this long a stretch. That usually there's one little minor speed bump before the run concludes. That's just what my gut tells me. I hope I'm wrong. Hope they can win out. It'd be great. They can get a first seed, take a week off.
They can still get a first seed even if they lose one.
They could, right. It'd just be they have to have other things happen. And
well, I mean, if you're worried about the Jets being that possibility, the Jets obviously still have the same teams the Patriots have, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's certainly an opportunity there for the Jets to lose.
Sure. They could lose to Pittsburgh next week.
Pittsburgh's 9-3 also, correct? Yes.
8-4.
Are they 8-4? Baltimore's 9-3.
No.
Who won the game?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh won. So they're 9-3.
So they're probably 9-3.
9-3, right. Baltimore's 8-4. That's right. Jason and Stowe, what do you guys think about Rex burying the game ball before going back to New York like Belichick did? Nice. Chicago's O-line is a joke. Predictions 27-10, New England.
Well, I think that if they're going to get pressure on Cutler, I think it'll come from the Bears' right side. So New England's left side of the defense. Why? Because their starting right tackle and right guard are rookie and first-year player, respectively. So if there's a point of weakness on that line that you want to target, I would say it's from that side, which is obviously not Cutler's blind side, but you get in where you can get in and pressure him and, you know, alter his throwing motion, get him out of scrambling. And that's when I was putting the roster together for last week's issue, or this week's issue, I should say. The one that's on newsstands. That's the area
I have open right now, on the depth chart page.
Yes. Who do I have up there in the bubbles?
You have Kyle Arrington against Johnny Knox.
On the defensive side.
On the defensive side. You have Ben Jarvis against Urlacher, and you have Vollmer against
Adonijé. Okay. Then on offense for...
Will Fork, Jamarcus Webb.
Okay. And that's on the right side of the
right side
of the offensive line.
Right, correct.
Right. Read what I wrote there, if you could.
Okay. It's not unusual for Will Fork to move from his standard nose tackle position to an end spot. This week could be one of those occasions because the Bears start a rookie at right tackle, Webb, and a first-year player at Edwin Williams at right guard. That could provide the nimble Will Fork with mismatch opportunities to get into the Chicago backfield and disrupt Jay Cutler.
So okay. That's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm looking for.
So if there's an opportunity.
Pressure from the offensive right.
Offensive right.
Or, you know, right to middle, yeah.
Right to middle. Maybe the Patriots try to figure out a way to overstack on that side.
Mm-hmm.
Put extra pressure on the right side.
And maybe Chicago will counter by trying to stack on that
side.
They
might.
You know, chip a running back or a tight end over there, whatever. But I think that's where your point of entry needs to begin.
Why ever when I see Johnny Knox, I want to think Johnny Knoxville.
Knoxville.
Yes,
yeah.
At all times.
Dumbass or what is it?
Jackass.
Jackass, yeah.
Dumbass too. That's actually pretty appropriate. We're big fans of Jackass in my household, though.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. Jackass 3D, outstanding. That's great stuff. Great stuff. Laugh out loud funny. Laugh out loud. I can't believe those guys do some of the stuff they do. I don't think I would have done it in my younger days. I would have done a lot, and I did a lot of things in my younger days. I would not have done some of those stunts. There's no way. No, just not going to happen. Mary Beth sends via Facebook, I'm with you guys. They may lose another game, but how great are our Pats? She says she thinks 30-27 Patriots.
Man, 30 points in this weather? Come on.
It's going to be high. That's a little high. I would tend to agree. Sounds like that could be a little high.
Although, to be fair, they put up 59 against the Titans last year
in
snow.
In a snowstorm here.
Oh.
Well, but the Titans also laid down at halftime of that one too.
Yeah, they did. And
I don't think we're going to get.
I think
there
we're
going to
get a lay down from the Bears.
No, because the Bears at 9-3 are probably right there amongst the elite teams in the NFC. You've got the Bears. You probably got the Eagles. You have the Giants to a lesser
Packers,
extent, and the Packers,
Falcons, Saints,
and the Falcons. How can I forget the Falcons? Falcons are 10-2.
Falcons have the best record in that conference.
So, I mean, you could certainly say the Bears are probably in the top.
There are six teams that are viable. In there, and we just named
consider them. You consider them one of the top three.
Forget about the NFC West. Just forget about that.
I agree with that. But I would say you probably, if you had to rank them, you probably have to say Falcons, Bears, Eagles. I think that's how I would go.
No love for the Saints?
No, not yet.
I'd probably put the Falcons first too. I think I might put the Saints second though.
Over the Bears?
Yeah.
Dub Bears.
Not by much, but
I saw that Saturday Night Live skit again the other night. Yeah, got it on my Verizon Fios, you know.
On demand
thing.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Is it on there because of the game?
No, it's just there. I mean, they've got classic Saturday Night Live skits, and one of them is, the Mike Ditka and, you know, all the stuff that, you know, the talk show guys did. This was the early to mid-90s vintage Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
So you had, I'm even trying to remember. You had Mike Myers. And you had
Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey, although he was not part of that skit. You had, I'm drawing a blank now, the big fat guy who died of a drug overdose.
Belushi?
No. That was the other fat guy.
From Tommy Boy.
Yes. Yes. Why am I drawing a blank?
Yeah, now I am too.
I see him. I've got a mental block.
Yeah, fat guy in a little coat.
Somebody help me out here. There we go. Thank you, Chris Farley. Thank you, Steve.
Chris Farley.
Steve just popped up on Facebook. Yep. See, that's why Facebook is great, because now I can get instant answers.
Right.
Yes, Chris Farley. Thank you. There's Derek, too. Chris Farley, knucklehead.
All right, we got it. Stop
Thank you.
It
we
in.
Got it. We got it. But it's got Farley, and yeah. It's just a hilarious skit.
George Wendt is the
yes.
fan, right?
He's the kind of the guy that runs the talk show.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's like Da Bears.
The Ditka.
Da Bears with Ditka and Michael Jordan. That's all they talk about is Da Bears and Da Bulls.
Yeah.
Do yourself
a
stock
market show.
Call it up. Call it up on demand if you have it, and it's all good. Do we have any good? We have any Da Bears or any good Chicago stuff?
I just took a peek in there. Don't
nothing?
See
nothing. Come on, it's because we never get a chance to play them. All right. You got to find us some
that's
sound.
That's a valid point though that you just made. We don't play them very
No, we
often.
Don't. You got to find us some sound in there somewhere, Kev. It's going to find us some. I mean, you know, it took you a while to find the dolphins. By the way, I didn't tell you this. Did I tell you this? That I got to swim with dolphins when I was in Mexico. I got to swim with dolphins.
Did you go on an actual tour, or did it just happen?
No. We there's a place called Dolphinarium that's right near where we stayed.
Mm-hmm.
And they allow tourists to come in there and be with the trainers in the water the dolphins.
That's something that I would like to do, I think.
It was fantastic.
Closest I ever came was down in a place called Boca Grande, Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is on the
right.
Gulf of Mexico side.
Right.
And I was, you know, just swimming close to the shore.
Yeah.
And about maybe quarter mile out, I saw a whole school of them.
Oh, man. How great is that?
Just
How
jumping
awesome.
In and out of the water. I could see the fins and everything. It was
just
amazing.
The absolute best. You know, and before we get in, first of all, I thought that all the instructors did a great job of speaking English. Because obviously you're in Mexico, and that's mm-hmm. their native language, Spanish native language.
But tourism.
Yeah, that they have to. Yeah. And so they did a great job of speaking, you know, English or Spanglish. And so we got in, you know, to the water and we weighed in and, you know, so I had to ask the obvious question. I said, that's not a Miami dolphin, is it? And it went right over her head. She had no clue what I was saying. I said, 'cause I can't get in the water if that's a Miami dolphin. Dolphin's name was Osiris. What a sweetheart. What unbelievably gentle, brilliant animals they are.
They really are.
I mean, mammals, I should say. Mammals.
Right.
They're mammals. They're not fishies. They're
right,
mammals.
Right.
But she was, it was just, I was speechless. You know, had a couple of pictures. You know, all you have to do is hand signs. They understand sign language like nobody's business.
Wow.
Better than humans do, I think. So I held my right hand to my chest,
mm-hmm.
my left hand out in the water, and she comes swimming up behind me. I grab her dorsal fin, and then she flips over on her stomach, and I ride on her stomach for 100 yards.
Oh, my God.
It was the most unbelievable thing I've ever experienced
so
in my
cool.
life. It was very cool.
Was this?
This was in Playa del Carmen, Mexico.
When?
This was 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
2 weeks ago today.
Really?
2 weeks ago today, I was swimming with the dolphins.
Wow.
Swimming with the fish. No, I can't
no
say
you can't say
fishies.
That, John.
No, I wasn't swimming
on.
With fishies. That's
you're from Rhode Island.
That's for my friends in
Federal.
You know
what that means?
For my friends in Federal Hill today.
You don't want to wish that.
I don't want to wish anybody to swim with the fishies.
No. My God.
No, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Stripper says, John, you swam with dolphins? You need to watch film, The Cove. It's on Netflix. If your kids have it on Xbox or Wii for in-stand download. Okay. He says, the dolphins don't belong in captivity. That's probably right. That's probably right. This dolphin was brilliant and pregnant. And so
the
instructor she's made a point of it to say, you know, we treat Osiris, you know, very gently, but she's, you know, wonderful girl, blah, blah, blah. And she's pregnant. She's expecting, and we can't wait for her to deliver. So you know your
great Egyptian just, name for a dolphin,
Osiris.
Yeah,
I don't know where they came up with it, but it was a spectacular thing. I would highly recommend it, no matter the cost. Whenever you go traveling or you get to go to a resort or you know whatever, and you have a chance to swim with dolphins, please do yourself a favor and interact with these wonderful, wonderful beasts because they are. It's just you know it was spectacular.
They're kind of like dogs. Right, like as far as like the affection that they show.
Yes, they can
and
show. They show affection.
The
they respond to cues. They love treats.
They're personable.
They're very personable. They'll talk to you. You do this, you know, with your index and middle finger with your thumb, and you do like a little
and
up and down.
It with their,
and they'll
beaks.
Mimic it with and they'll open their mouth and they'll start quacking. You know,
wow.
Like they'll and so they'll speak. That's how you get them to speak.
Did you feed them?
Yes. Squid. She loves squid.
Yeah.
Oh my. You know, they have you know the fish in there. You know the whatever that is that they end up the cod or whatever it is. But squid is just like a special treat. So
I couldn't be a dolphin. I don't like seafood.
Come on, you eat calamari, don't you?
I don't.
You
eat
don't eat
seafood.
Calamari at all.
If it comes from the sea, it's not for me.
Come on!
Nope.
Where are you from?
I'm from the Ocean State.
Oh, my God. There is nothing better than a good Italian calamari.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, come on.
Listen, I have to hear from my mother for my whole life. What kind of Italian are you? Oh, come on. I'm an Italian who doesn't like seafood.
All right. I'm right there with Miss Scalavino. Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry. Just can't do it. It makes me ill.
You're like, that's just sad. That ruins my day.
No, don't let it do that.
That just ruins my day.
It's more for you. Look at it that way. That's what my dad would always say to my mother.
More
don't worry
me.
About it, Louise. It's more for him. It's more for me.
More for me. Makes sense to me. All right. Kevin's working on the Bears. He's working on it. I see him. We're gonna just in honor of the Chicago Bears, we're gonna play that whole skit.
No.
We're gonna play the whole skit. Don't you think we need to do that today? It's Bears week.
Huh?
We're gonna play this.
Don't ask him.
I'm working on it.
Okay, he's taking care of it. He's doing that. All right, so come on. We got to get with the predictions here. We've got a little lull in the action. 508-543-7482, web radio at patriots.com. Let's go. Toussaint says, Rook. Love that. Rook. How could you not believe in the Patriots this week? The way the defense played Monday night, I am totally confident. Pats win big on the road, 34-17. Brady is in his zone. When he is locked in like this, look out. Pats fans should enjoy every minute of this year. We're watching history every week. We may never have it this good again.
Come on. Ever again?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why they kind of re-signed Tom to the deal that they did. So they could have this conceivably for at least another 5 years. Right?
Yeah.
That was the idea behind it, thinking that there's potentially. I mean, why else did they decide to. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Why else did they decide to tear down the defense after last year and start building it back, realizing that, you know, well, we're going to have to take our lumps, but we have to get younger. And now this defense is starting to come around, maybe sooner, really, than anybody down the hallway here expected they would come around.
Yes. Very, very.
Right?
Yes. Sooner, much sooner than I think anyone expected.
And now the offense. As it has been carrying this team, now the offense, this last week, we started to see it. They're getting a little help from the defense. Mm-hmm. They've had help from the special teams all year long.
Right.
And they're continuing to get help from the special teams. And so that's how this team has gotten out to 10 wins. But now, if you've got an ever-improving defense that can actually make stops, or how about big plays, or scoring plays, holy moly. Now you got something cooking here. And that's why this last week, for the first time all year, you have to put the words Patriots and Super Bowl contenders in the same sentence. It's the first time all year, realistically, I think that anybody can say they belong together. And if you're saying, oh, no, I thought about this week ago, you're lying.
No, I don't think you're lying. But
you're lying to yourself.
No, because I think if you looked at what was going on around the league, there weren't any other dominant teams. So why not include them in it?
Yeah, but see, the thought process is here. Teams that have championship Super Bowl caliber teams already have established defenses and they don't make the mistakes the Patriots made.
I know.
That's why the Patriots were not thought of as a Super Bowl contending team. They didn't have the defense.
Right.
They didn't have the playmakers. Now we've got guys who can step up and make plays and make stops. That is the first thing you need to see on the way to becoming a dominant defense.
You're right.
And history will bear that out. Mm-hmm. You got to have one or two guys on the defense that can step up and make a play. Patriots seem to have a guy in each section of their defense that can do that. Maybe even more than one in the secondary now. But now you've got linebackers.
Sanders, McCourty, that's two right there.
Right. In the linebacking corps, who else makes big plays? You got Mayo that can make a big stick. You got Spikes that's made a pick. You got Cunningham that's got a that's got an opportunity now. You've got Guyton who's made a big play this year.
Linebackers are still the weak link on that defense. I maintain.
Now, see,
linebackers are still the weak link.
I'm going to disagree with you there, because I still believe if there is a weak link on the defense, it's the consistency out of the secondary. That's not the secondary's fault. They're still relatively young and learning. But I would tell you right now, I'll take the Patriots linebacking core over the secondary if you're telling me which is the stronger unit, or asking me which is the stronger unit. I'll still take the linebackers.
Okay.
It's close.
Yeah, it is very close.
It's close.
Very close.
And I'll give a lot of credit to the improved secondary. I'm even going to give some props to Darius Butler for not getting burnt this past Monday.
Yeah,
but I think, you know,
wasn't great.
But at the same time, though, he was out there for what, like 50 plays?
I don't remember.
He was out there for a lot of plays.
He was out there for a while.
He was out there for double the plays of Patrick Chung.
Yeah.
There was a reason for that. Had to be a reason for it. Even if it was injury related, had to be a reason for it. Tell you us that I really think is quietly had a solid year is Kyle Arrington, and we've talked about it.
Yeah. He still gives up, you know, his share of yardage.
It's
but,
because I think he still plays too soft.
But he also makes his share of plays.
He makes his share of plays. You know, so, again, we have to give some credit where credit is due.
And he's a good guy to root for.
Right.
Just, you know, off the field. He's a good guy to root for.
No question. Nice guy. Mm-hmm. You know, an unassuming guy.
Yes.
You know, yeah,
and he's honest. He'll give you a quote. He'll tell you what's on his mind.
Yeah.
You know, and for a second year player, boy, that's rare. Usually, you get that from the established veterans who
feel more comfortable about doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, he's a good guy, though.
It works for me.
Yeah. And he's made progress, though. I mean, this is the guy who was cast aside by two other teams, came on the practice squad, worked his way as a special teamer, got some action as a cornerback, you know, nickel, whatever.
Let me put it to you this way. I think Kyle Arrington has shown us that the Hofstra education is probably not too bad. He's a smart guy.
Sure.
Personable guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, very much. Very much so.
You know, and he went to school and played football, a program that doesn't even have football anymore.
Right.
How about that?
I know what that's like.
Yeah. Yes, you do. By the way, how come the Patriots didn't try you out and they're looking for a kicker a couple weeks ago? A
couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Because I'm old and I can't kick anymore. Not going to sugarcoat it,
John. When was the last time you went out there and kicked?
Last spring. Because we were trying to set up something with Gostkowski. We were going to do a little contest? We were going to do a little contest.
Nice.
He was supposed to write a story for PFW, and I was supposed to put my kicking cleats back on and try to see if I could make... I had to make like...
Oh, I would want to be there for that. What did you...
I had to make 6 out of 10 from 35 yards.
That's doable for you.
And I thought so. And then I went out there and I was struggling because my leg strength... I had to stop playing because of my back. I injured my back in college and never fully recovered the strength to kick that I had once before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember warming up with 35-yarders when back in the day. And so I accepted the challenge from him, but he never wrote the story, and I started trying to practice and realized I wasn't going to be able to do it, so we gave up on it. But I tried for like a couple of weeks to try to work my way back
into
it.
And you couldn't do it?
I was falling just short from 35.
Really?
Coming right under the crossbar.
Yeah, no
strength. The accuracy was still there. But
see, that sounds like me. Now, before the, you know, when I was doing Brown football games, we used to...
You go before the game.
Before the game, out on the field. Cordishi's probably told you all these stories. And it was myself and the photographer and the engineer and John Wallach, who was doing the games with me.
Yep.
And we'd go down on the field before the game, before anybody was out there, and we'd grab one of the footballs from the sideline.
Grab a tee. Or hold it?
No, we would hold it most of the time because we thought a tee was, you know, oh, that's unfair.
Right.
But then people got tired of getting their hands kicked.
You actually kick people's hands? Oh, for God's sake. You weren't making many field goals
then. I was. I can make them.
Whoever was kicking hands wasn't making
I was pretty field good. I was pretty good up to 25 yards. I was pretty good, which would be a 35-yarder. But I that's when it fell off for me. My record during that time frame was 37 yards. I did it at Schoelkopf Field at Cornell.
Oh, yeah?
Because it was turf.
Oh.
You can kick off a turf so much easier.
I hate turf. No, I disagree.
Come on, it bounces.
I
got great leg bounce on that turf there.
There was less restriction
on your swing through on your leg and the
follow
through.
I always felt like I was going to slip on a turf field.
Really?
Yeah, I loved the feel of my cleats getting into the grass and staying there. I much prefer grass
never
any
had
day.
A problem with
my
it.
Best I think my best kicking performance like the best I ever felt kicking a football was in warm-ups at URI back in like 1992 or something. We were at Mead Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It was a perfect autumn day, like an October day, and I was crushing the ball in warm-ups from like 45 yards. I was clearing the backstop. I had a kid, you know, there were some little kids that attended the game that would shag balls for us. They were a good 15 to 20 yards behind the goalposts, and I was hitting them from there, from 45 out. I could have easily made a 60-yarder that day. It was unbelievable, and the footing on that field was immaculate. Everything was perfect that day. And I was thinking of that when I accepted this challenge from Gostowski.
I'd like to come out there and see that. Because I like to still get out there and kick. I'd like to be able to kick off the turf. I still think I could hit a 25-yarder. Still think I could. It's been 15 years probably.
You mean from the 25 or a 25-yarder?
I think I could hit a 25-yarder.
Okay, so
from
5 yards
25,
from the extra point.
I'm not sure I could do that.
That'd be a 35-yarder.
I think I could do it from like the 15 to the 20. Like, you know, the lame contest we have before the games.
The Ocean Spray kick.
Okay, there's no doubt in
those
my mind.
Those are horrific. Yeah.
They are bad. They're bad. Yeah. But there's no doubt in my mind I could win. There's no doubt in my mind.
Me too.
I would love to get out there and do that.
Me too.
In fact, I want somebody to give me a wireless mic, and I want to go down on the field and host that contest. And I'm going to show you
Bums.
Bleepity bleeps that I can do this.
I know. I feel you. Within the last year, I've gone out.
But when I kick it, I need to win. I need to win not only my own prize pack, but everybody else's too.
That's fair.
Okay.
Cranberries for everybody.
Cranberries for everybody.
Cranberry juice for everybody.
Cranberry. Your supply of cranberry juice.
That'd be nice. It's good for your like kidneys or something.
It's very good for you. Cleans you out.
Keeps you regular.
All right. It's 3 o'clock. I gotta go. This is great. We're talking about regularity.
Prediction before you go,
yes.
Kid.
Go. Okay, I'm gonna go with Patriots 20.
That is known as the Bears.
Bears. 16.
Bears 16, 20 to 16. That's pretty good. All right, I'll step up. I'm gonna say Patriots 24, Bears 19.
Basically the same.
Those ugly scoring.
Yeah,
funky,
one of those ugly, funky looking.
Yeah. Have a safety
things.
Or two involved.
Safety or three field goals and a missed extra point.
Missed extra points.
Yeah, that's going to happen somewhere. It could be 23-16 too, but it's going to be something funky like that. But you know, that's
non-conventional score.
Right, non-conventional.
Yeah.
But I will take the Patriots by a smidge. Now, does that mean that you know if I'm picking the Patriots to win this week, and they win? Does that mean I pick Green Bay next week? Because I've said already, I don't think they get through these 2 weeks.
I was more concerned with the Green Bay game than the Chicago game going in to like a week or so ago.
Even though the Patriots,
even though they beat
Brady's
home
won 26
and,
in a row at home now.
Yeah.
Still.
Something told me, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
We'll see.
You and I will have
conditions
this,
on the ground.
We will have
of course,
this
conditions on the ground can change.
We will have this discussion next week then.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If they get through this week
if they
unscathed,
get through this week unscathed,
we will have this discussion.
Oh yes, we
first
will.
First and foremost next week.
Yes, we will.
Okay. All right. Hey, Eric. Hey, these guys are losing this week.
I know.
Why are we
know.
Even discussing?
I know.
This? Okay. All right, E. Thanks, man.
All right, man.
Have a good trip.
Thanks a lot.
Don't forget, got to hit Billy Goat Tavern.
I've been to the Billy Goat. I went 10 years ago.
Unbelievable.
I've been to the Billy Goat. And you know what? Because that's the Saturday Night Live skit,
yeah,
with the cheeseburger chicken.
Cheeseburger.
My friend, we went there,
yeah,
got a little something. And then the next day, my friend was like, it was like the middle of the night, and he was hungry. And he was like,
go!
He's like, I'm going to go. He wanted a grilled cheese because that's what he got the day before.
You can't go in there and order grilled cheese.
They refused to make him one.
Yeah! Of course they did.
But they made him one the day before. And he tried to insist. He's like, you made me one yesterday.
Because they're whack jobs in there. That's what's so great about it.
They wouldn't do it.
Hey, when we walk in the door, every time I walk in the door, they take a look at me and they go, all out of singles, doubles only. Seriously. There hasn't been, and I've been in that place at least a dozen times. Every time I walk in there, the guy looks at me and he says, no, all out of singles, doubles. And I'm like, okay, I'll have a double. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I get a double. You know, I have a cheap. I have Coke, no Pepsi.
Yep. We our hotel was right on the same block.
It's true. It's true. Kevin's in here laughing. Yeah. It's true.
Our hotel.
This place is for real.
It is. It is. And it's just like the skit.
It's like the soup Nazi in the Seinfeld thing. That guy existed in New York.
No soup for you.
That's
no
right.
soup for you. But this is true. And it's a Saturday Night Live skit. If you don't know what we're talking about, YouTube it. You'll find it. It's unbelievable.
Billy Goat.
Yeah, Billy Goat Tavern is outstanding. You got to go have a cheeseburger. Cheeseburger. Okay. Doubles, no singles. All right. Have double, no single.
I will.
All right. We'll take the timeout here, and then Buster Crab.
Buster Crab.
What's his name? Russell Baxter.
Or Baxter Russell, as I once referred to him as.
No, I've only known the guy for 10, 15 years. I just call him what Fred calls him. Oh, my God. Russell Baxter, ESPN's NFL research coordinator, will be here to join us inside the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. Can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Hour number two, Patriots Playbook on a Thursday. Yep, short week, simply because we had the Monday night game. It's only a couple of shows this week, yesterday, today, and then we're back to regular week next week. Shocking, huh? A normal week around here? Although the Green Bay game did get moved to a night game. It got flexed from the afternoon to a night game on Sunday night. But that's television's right, I suppose. All right, let's head to Bristol, Connecticut, and the worldwide leader, and ESPN's Russell Baxter, NFL Research Coordinator. Afternoon, Russell, how are we today?
Hello, John. How are we doing?
Great, as is everybody in Patriot Nation.
Yes, quite the performance here today. I started out so well kind of having a gauge on what the Patriots were doing this year, as you well know. And I think I'm about 0-for-40 in the last 40 times I've tried to figure out what they they have done.
I was just going to say, I realized that, you know, in fact, I believe I chided you just slightly last week as you were the only person anywhere near these, and I use the term loosely, airwaves, that said that the Jets would win the game last week.
Well, yeah, these things happen. So, and I guess I don't win the showcase showdown. So,
no.
But no, you know, it's funny because what I saw, you know, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it here, but and I might as well start. Watching the Patriots defense this year,
yeah,
which has been really a case of bend and bend and not bend but not don't break,
right?
And given the style of football that the Jets play,
right?
You know, I thought, well, if not now, when, mm-hmm, for the Jets, and then why? And you know what was really interesting to watch the Jets was here is a team that all year has dug themselves out of these little holes against the Lions, against the Browns, against the Texans, and so on.
Right.
And yet, once they got down, this is the eye test. Once they got down 10-0 the other night, they looked shell shocked.
Yeah,
absolutely shell-shocked.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with you.
And I was just very surprised by that. And then once the floodgates opened, they opened and so on, and bad tackling and poor execution and just outfoxing the Jets in every which way possible and so on. And, you know, you got to give credit where it's credit's due. You know, it's one of the biggest blowouts in Monday Night Football history,
yeah,
tied for the second biggest,
mm-hmm,
and so on. But to watch the Jets get only 3 points and gets a defense that we have been scratching our heads about all year,
right,
I think was as mystifying. Were you surprised that Tom Brady had a great night? No.
Not really.
You know, guy's been red hot, and he 13 touchdown passes the last four games. But watching the Jets come up with a field goal, I think, was really mystifying. And that, and the interception that Brandon Spikes got early in the second half, I mean, that really kind of almost sealed the deal right there and then.
Sure.
But I was just surprised to see the Jets get down 10-0 and look so defeated for a team that has, you know, spent most of half the season rallying from deficits. I think that was, if I had to pick one thing that really kind of shocked me, I think that was it.
I would tell you that I think that that might have happened simply because they truly came into the game believing they don't not only would win, but that they should win.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the Patriots came in and kind of punched him right in the jaw, you know, from the get-go, I think they staggered, and I think that they never really recovered. It's kind of like, hey, they just hit us.
Right.
And
no, there's
just,
no
never
doubt
reacted.
About it. And I think I was just surprised by that because they have taken similar shots from other teams. And now similar shots from other teams that are not divisional rivals, granted. But still, to look that down after 10-0 really made me scratch their heads, my head, and it was just really, really surprising to have them look that defeated so soon. I mean, maybe they thought they were going to come in there and blow the Patriots out, for all I know. But, you know, you live by swagger, you die by swagger, and I think you're exactly right. Once they did get punched in the mouth, I guess I expected at least a – you know,
some sort of retaliation,
maybe even a pinch back.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there wasn't even a kick or a slap or anything. It was just like, well, here we go. And again, there you go.
That was what was very surprising.
But here's the thing. I've spent all the last 3 minutes talking about the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give credit where credit's due. Obviously, great, great game plan. All the formations, everything they've done this year. Brady spreading the ball around. And give credit to the defense. Intercepted Sanchez 3 times, really kept them on their heels. I don't think I've ever saw a team that looked like they got rushing yards in garbage time.
Right.
But you almost got that sense. And even though they were able to run the ball on New England in little doses, they never did anything with it. And Santonio Holmes this and Santonio Holmes that. But again, the execution by the Patriots was absolutely brilliant. And They look like a very, very prepared and confident football team as we really get ready for the stretch run here.
Well, that's when you want to be playing your best football, is when you hit that stretch run, and there's very little arguing that the Patriots are doing that right now. And something that really has kind of hit us like, you know, a ton of bricks this week, Russell, is the fact that before Monday, we never really thought of the Patriots as being considered a Super Bowl contender, but now you clearly have to consider them a Super Bowl contender. And to us, that's unexpected this year. Pleasant surprise, but unexpected.
Well, you and me both. And I thought it was going to be a down year for several of the, you know, the so-called powers in the AFC. And I thought New England would be one of them. I thought for the Colts. I thought for the Chargers. You know, maybe two out of three ain't bad.
Well, I think that's what you're getting.
And you are seeing that and so on. But I think the Patriots have made the most of what they've had. And you got to give credit where credit's due as far as resiliency and game planning and so on. And, yeah, they look like the best team in the league right now, because if they are going to play defense like they played defense on Monday night, you still have to have that. There is, you are not going to convince me, no matter how good Brady is, Manning is, Favre was, Rivers, you can't outscore teams and win a Super Bowl title. It just doesn't work that way, because you're going to lay that egg offensively every once in a while, and you got to have other things to fall back on. But that was such a complete team effort by the Patriots on Monday night. Again, if they play defense like that in the last 4 weeks and in the playoffs, they're certainly right up there as far as the Super Bowl contender.
Well, you touched on a very good point, because you're right. Every once in a while, an offense will fire blanks, but this is the first time all year that we've seen the defense step up and not only make plays, but really support the offense.
Yes.
It's been
kind of a one-sided show, and it's not like the Patriots were, like I said, bend but don't break, getting a lot of takeaways. You know, like the Saints did. You know, the Saints last year defensively were not that good. Teams were able to move the ball on them, but they made so many timely plays. I mean, most of the timely plays turnover-wise for the Patriots was that special teams explosion against Miami on Monday night back in Week 4. We haven't seen a ton of those this year. And so on, you know, and even when you look at the way they played Peyton Manning a couple weeks ago, now you look at Manning's recent struggles, you're probably like, well, maybe it wasn't the Patriots, maybe it was Peyton Manning after all. But again, Monday night was so complete that, I mean, that's an eye-opening effort. And the next 2 weeks, of course, they play the Bears and the Packers, two teams that I think are also pretty confident these days. They close with the Bills and the Dolphins. But again, if this is the way they're going to play defensively, then I give them a much better chance as far as representing the AFC. Listen, it's not handball, and it's not bowling, and it's not tennis. This has never been a one-man game. If it was, then Dan Marino would have won 7 titles.
Yeah, no kidding.
As you well know.
Yeah, no kidding.
And even last year, the Patriots. One other thing about the Patriots that I really got to give credit for this year, too, is the way they have played offensively in the second half. Because last year, that was a big issue.
Sure it was.
They scored at least half their points in the first half and just kind of faded. Mm-hmm. I think the number was 282 in the first half and 145 in the second half. This year, they've already in the second half and overtime scored over 200 points, which I think they're outscoring themselves in the second half opposed to the first half, which is a complete reversal from last year. Again, got to give credit where credit's due.
All right, let's start off the schedule then with tonight's Thursday night game, Colts at the Titans. I was somewhat amused, because I know you probably know some of the particulars involved here, the story of Bob Lamy, the Colts broadcaster, allegedly saying some negative things about Peyton with his microphone still on. Did you hear this story?
I read about this story and so on. And you, John, you and I are relatively the same age.
Right.
And my father told me a story. You know, listen, as you well know, when the blooper tapes used to first come out, I think the most famous one was a radio broadcaster named Uncle Don, who would sing to the children.
Yeah, yeah.
And the last thing he said when he didn't realize he was on the air one time is, you know where I'm going to.
Yes,
don't you?
I do.
Are we done?
Good. That'll take care of the little beep.
That'll hold the little blank. Now, I can tell you, God rest my father's soul. God rest my father's soul. My father heard that when he was a child. My father.
That must have been unbelievable.
My father was born in 1935, so he knew the radio era.
Right.
And when they started sending the blooper things out and stuff like that, he said, hey, I remember it. And I guess they actually changed the name, you know, to protect the not so innocent,
right,
and so on. So I guess this falls under the Uncle Don category.
Yes, it does.
Of oops.
Yeah.
And as you well know, working here, as you have and do, it happens to the best of them.
Sure does.
I'm kind of, you know, I go in there and I'm privileged enough to do stuff with Mike and Mike and Freddie Coleman on the air and so on. And I still to this day catch myself making sure that the red button isn't lit
if I'm going to
crack a joke.
You have to. Yeah, you have to. And I like how, you know, Bob went up and, you know, told allegedly Peyton, you know, apologized for what he said. And Peyton allegedly accepted the apology. But you have to wonder, with as much stuff as Peyton has taken because of the, you know, 11 interceptions over the last, 3 weeks now or whatever it has been, that, you know, do you really think he goes to somebody else in that organization and says, I don't need this, get rid of this guy?
Well, here's what we know. Bob Lamy is the only guy who hasn't picked off Peyton Manning in the last three games.
That's also true.
Okay, so sorry.
It's also true.
Credit, listen, it happens. Thank you very much. And it happens.
Tip your waiter.
It's an unprecedented slump for him.
Right.
It's basically an unprecedented slump for most quarterbacks. What are you going to do? I mean, I hope we're not into the petty age of someone makes a crowd. I mean, half the people, I'm sure, in the stands were saying that. They just didn't have a microphone near them.
Yeah.
And so on. But, you know, what are you going to do? It's one of those things. Hopefully all's well that ends well. I mean, it could be like, hey, when Stephen Bishop was sitting on the frat house stairs in Animal House and John Belushi picked up his guitar and smashed it against the wall, what did he say to him? Sorry.
Yes, sorry. That's all he said.
That's all you can say.
That being said,
the Colts, I think, win the game tonight.
Do you?
Because I think they need to win the game. And, you know, it's Kerry Collins, a quarterback, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard a lot before the season started about Chris Johnson trying to reach 2,500 yards.
Yeah.
1,500 might be good right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a team, by the way, the Titans' offense has not scored a touchdown in 13 consecutive quarters.
Wow.
Now, when you play the Colts defense, it is one way to get healthy. I know that. The Colts will play this, I don't want to say like a playoff game, because it's not like Peyton Manning has been, you know, unstoppable in the playoffs. But this is a desperation game for the Colts. And listen, they're going to finish with their worst record in 8 years. They're obviously not going to win 12 games. They're going to scratch and claw even to get in the playoffs. They have any hope of getting to the postseason, it's going to be as the winning division. They have to win this game and get healthy as much as they can to host Jacksonville next week. If they don't win both, I think they're out of the playoffs.
I would agree with that. I think they have to win them both. I totally agree.
Just
with
like
that.
Minnesota a couple weeks ago,
yep,
I think had to beat Chicago in Chicago,
yep,
and win at home against Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do either. They lost both of them. And, you know, even if they finish 9-7, you know, I think the Vikings of the season, unfortunately, is done. There's too many teams to climb.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the problem. And the Colts, I know, are only one game back. But the fact that they did something this year twice that they did do last year,
mm-hmm,
which was lose divisional games, has put them in a little bit of a hole.
Sure. All right, within the AFC East, Browns are playing at the Bills. And then, of course, we have the Jets trying to regroup at home against the Miami Dolphins this week. I'm thinking that, I'm not so sure about the Bills' chances at home. I'm thinking that the Jets probably figure out a way to rebound against the Dolphins and maybe whack them upside of the head. What do you think?
Well, I think this is interesting because I think we're going to find out a lot about the Jets, especially coming down the stretch here. They have done a very good job the last 2 years, or I should say the last year and a half, rebounding from bad efforts. But
mm-hmm,
this is a really bad effort. And they're playing a Miami team that, scratch your head, they play better on the road than they do at home.
Yeah, they're 5-1 away. 5-1.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. I think the Jets get this done as well because Miami, I think, unfortunately, is another team that it's – we have a slew of 6-6 teams in the AFC, as you well know, John. We have Miami. We have Oakland. We have San Diego. We have the Colts. You know, it's got to be a little separation there. You know, Miami's obviously not winning the division. And I still think they're probably relegated to spoiler. Unfortunately, Chad Henne has a bad habit of throwing interceptions. I mean, he was benched, and, of course, they brought in Pennington, and now they've had to go back to Chad Henne. But I think if the Jets are, and I'm not saying the Jets have to come back here and take out their frustrations on the Dolphins. I think they simply have to win the game. But they also have to play well as well. You know, this is the quarter mark of the season. You know, it's so funny because I hear so many times you hear December records, November records and stuff. Coaches don't look at it like that. Coaches look at, they split up the season like quarters. First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. I always kind of laugh at the notion of December records because if you play on Sunday, November 30th, okay,
mm-hmm.
but the Monday night game is December 1st, does that mean you would have played lousy on Sunday because it's a Sunday game and it's in November?
Right.
But suddenly you're a really good December team, so you're happy the game is on Monday?
Right.
I mean, it's just silly. So these are the last four games where we learn. And as you well know, with the way the NFL structured the season, the last 3 weeks, especially the last week when it's all divisional games, this is going to be the most important stretch run you've seen in recent years. Especially now, we got a little separation in the divisions last week, you know, with the Patriots taking the lead, the Steelers taking the lead, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the Jets bounce back. If the Jets are who we think they are, they bounce back. Let's put it that way.
Where's Coach Green when we need him?
Well, he's bouncing back somewhere off of, I think, didn't Coach Green, I think, coach in the UFL this year, didn't he?
I believe he did.
Yes. Yeah. It'd be good to see him back in the league, to be honest with you.
The Bears are what we thought they were.
That's right. And I think the Patriots probably find that out on Sunday.
And we let them off the hook.
Let them off the hook. And how about the other one? Do we have
if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
There we go.
There you go.
There we go. Next week's opponent, the Green Bay Packers, coming in to Foxborough on the road at Detroit. I think we all know that Detroit's certainly capable of giving teams games, but they always find a way to kind of muck it up in the end.
Well, they've lost 10 in a row to the Packers.
Yep.
They've lost 19 in a row in the division, which is unprecedented
that
since
is,
the merger, by
that
the way.
That really is, by the way. That's just an incredible number. That's worse than, I mean, honestly, I think that's worse than the overall road losing record that they have in a row.
Right.
Losing
Aaron
division
Rodgers
games
is,
like that.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, by the way, since taking over is 5-0 and has thrown for 300 yards in four of the five games he's played the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Packers offense last week, and they were a rookie running back who was deactivated most of the year on PUP named James Starks.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a little oomph to the running game last week combined with Brandon Jackson. Remember, you know, this is a team that's played without Ryan Grant for just about the entire year. Their offense was humming last week. There was, listen, Donald Driver made one of the big plays of the year, broke a lot of tackles last week, but there were a couple passes that Aaron Rodgers threw to Greg Jennings last week that were simply ropes. And he can get it done, and the Lions have not shown. Now, I will say this. Alphonso Smith, who was just put on IR by the Lions, you guys up in New England are very familiar with him from Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you got a chance to see him last week against the Bears. It wasn't much better.
Okay,
but he is out. And hopefully that means they have a better tackling corner to replace him. But the Lions' secondary has been bad, unfortunately, for about 10 years. Now, could Ndamukong Suh spend the afternoon in the Packers' backfield? Absolutely. But I don't think it's going to be enough, and I think Green Bay moves on.
Yep. There are two games in the AFC, Russell, that I've chosen because they certainly have playoff implications riding on the outcome here. Raiders at the Jaguars for one. And then the other one, Chiefs at the Chargers in AFC West battles that, quite frankly, didn't think that would matter much at this stage of the season, but certainly the Chiefs and Chargers does.
Well, very, very interesting is you want to talk about two similar teams, Oakland and Jacksonville. And I'll make sure I get my numbers right.
Okay.
Oakland is third in the league in rushing and 28th in passing.
That's bizarre.
Jacksonville is second in the league in rushing and 29th in passing.
That's even more bizarre.
One of the teams is 16th in total offense. One team is 17th in total offense. One team's got six wins. One team's got seven wins. Very interesting because both of the teams have really been revived by their running games. Both of their defenses have been spotty. Both have had forgettable games at times, and yet they're right smack in America. I mean, it's amazing to think that the Raiders are 6-6, which any other year would be mediocre for most teams, but it's the most games they've won since 2002.
Right.
It's just unbelievable. Now, we saw Jacksonville 7-5 last year. Same thing, and they went in the tank and they lost their last four games. Both of these teams are so darn unpredictable, to be honest with you. But I'm going to take Jacksonville at home simply because they are at home. But I'm not going to be surprised By the way, I'm also not going to be surprised if the game is over at 2:15 in the afternoon when they both run. I think both of them ran it 50 times last week, so yeah. I'm not going to be surprised at that as well. But I'll take Jacksonville. Maurice Jones-Drew is hot. Five straight 100-yard games. Again, Darren McFadden, but it's also been Michael Bush as well. And listen, they're coming off sweeping the Chargers. You know, they hadn't beaten them in 13 games in a row, and now they've beaten them twice in a row. So this is a team beaming with confidence. They, of course, would love to keep peace. They'd love to get a break this week and get closer to Kansas City if the Chargers can pull a little bit of a surprise. And I actually think San Diego beats Kansas City this week.
Do you?
Yeah. So, but I also don't like the Raiders' chances, to be honest with you. Remember the Raiders, what's intriguing about the Raiders, even though they are two games out of first place, they are 4-0 in the division this year. Which, of course, they came into the season winning 8 division games in the last 7 years, and now they're 4-0. So it's really been an amazing turnaround for the Raiders.
Patriot fans can't have their cake and eat it too. Then in that regard,
well, yes. Listen, we shall see. But the Chiefs, of course, it'll also be interesting to see what happens with Matt Cassel this week. We know the story of the appendectomy.
Yeah, do you think he plays?
I honestly can't see him playing, to be honest with you. I have no inside information on it, but does he give it a go and take, I don't know. We have seen recently appendectomies around the league where guys have been shelved for, for a week, 2 weeks and so on.
Sure.
Find it hard to believe how strange, how strong he's going to be on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of like the Chargers in that one, too. I think, the Chargers, because they stumbled last week. I think the Chargers probably, especially with Castle out, I think they realize, hey, we win this, we're back within a game, got three left to play, anything can happen, the division's title is still within our reach. I think they've got much more to play for. Much more to play for.
Well, listen, San Diego, last week was a perplexing effort from them. They looked like they had gotten their sea legs back, and at home, they were, before they knew it, they were down, and it never really recovered. And I think they ran the ball 8 times for 21 yards last week. So, mystifying effort.
You want to play that? You want to play that, don't you?
San Diego, Superchargers, San Diego.
Why don't we commission somebody to do something like that with the Patriots, Jason? No? He's just shaking his head.
I think that's, it's kind of gay.
Your opinion, of course. All right, let's go then to the Monday night game on ESPN. Ravens playing at the Texans, and the Ravens, I'm sure, would like to have Pittsburgh back, but can they put it aside, take care of business? And they got to go on the road and beat a Texan team that obviously is probably disappointed in itself more so than anybody else being disappointed in them.
Well, I'm very disappointing defensively as well. But the one thing the Texans can do is score points. And the one thing the Ravens have done is make me shake my head about what they are offensively.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually looking at the Texans to, even though I don't think they're a playoff team, and they're sitting at 5-7, I think they're going to play spoiler Monday night. And I still think the Ravens are really solidly in the playoff picture. But that was an emotional, physical game with the Steelers, which had, one thing, if they had been dominated, it was in their way to lose it in the last 3 minutes. The way they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be a little let down by the Ravens, and I'm actually looking at Houston to win on Monday night.
Ooh, okay. So you're going to take your Houston Texans to pull a little surprise here.
Well, yeah, listen, no real surprise. They're not going to be in the playoffs, hence no Super Bowl pick. But the one thing about them is they are not a good defensive team. We know that. But they do move the ball on just about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And Baltimore has proven that defensively they're not what they've been. And the other night, Ben Roethlisberger very quietly threw for 250 yards on them. And I think that was a little surprising if you watched the game. And he did a lot of that in the second half. And the one thing about Houston, listen, they got down big at Philly last week. And before you knew it, they were back in the game and leading at Philadelphia. Mm. They've had an additional time off for this game as well. Again, Houston's going nowhere. But they're at least going to make Baltimore sweat a little, I think, and pull off a little mini surprise here.
Well, then that brings us to the 4:15 Eastern time game, Soldier Field. Very frigid. Temperatures at kickoff expected to be at or near single digits with a 40% chance of precipitation. Sounds like just a balmy day in Chicago. Patriots and the Bears.
I keep on hearing about the field at Soldier Field. this week, and that being a factor and so on. And, you know, I looked up some stats. You know, Fields have never won a game. Did you know that?
I believe I'm aware of
that. Never thrown a pass, never made a tackle. Well, I can't say that. They have made
Fields
tackles.
Fields have made tackles.
We have made tackles and so on. Listen, I think there are some, in some regards, there are people waiting for a little bit of a letdown this week with the Patriots and so on. I don't know if that, I don't know if they're going to hold the Bears to 3 points. You know, how's this for a number? The Patriots have scored 160 points in their last four games.
Right.
The Bears have given up 192 this season.
Ugh. Sounds like a movable object against the irresistible force,
16
right?
16 points a game opposed to 40 points a game.
Mm-hmm. Something's got to give.
And I think New England stems an early tide. I think they wind up coming from behind in this game because I think the Bears will move it. Listen, Bill Belichick, I think, I've always felt, and this is probably from reading and more and hearing than anything else, had a certain admiration for Mike Martz. And I have to give Mike Martz and the whole Bears staff credit this year because this has not been an almost typical Mike Martz-coached offense. He has adjusted on the fly. Mm-hmm. They are more balanced than they were earlier in the season. He has not been as stubborn as in recent years. Jay Cutler is taking his share of sacks, but he's, you know, he's been better with the ball ever since that disaster of trying to make D'Angelo Hall a Pro Bowler all in one afternoon by throwing him four passes. Mm-hmm. Cutler's been much better. They've been much more confident. And I think the Bears hang for a while, but I still think this is New England's game.
You know, the one thing that's impressed me most about Chicago is they've turned it around to become at least an efficient team, if not a spectacular team. You know, 21 turnovers their first seven games, only five in their last five. So they've learned at least how to take better care of the football, and that's obviously turned out positive results for them.
Well, listen, no one takes care of the football better than the Patriots. Them and the Chiefs are tied. They have nine turnovers
right.
in 12 games this year. They've mm-hmm. gone no turnovers in the last four games that they've won. So when it comes to ball security, nobody's better at it than the Patriots. And the Bears defense, remember, this is a Bears defense that gave up 375 points last year.
Right.
This was a defense on the decline.
It's a defense that also picked up Julius Peppers in the offseason.
Right. And also, Urlacher is healthy. Briggs is healthy. Mm-hmm. Israel Adonijé on the other side has helped. Tommy Harris is playing better, even though he's not really a starter anymore. Again, I think they stemmed the tide for a while and so on. But we shall see. But I think New England and the hallmark of what they've become, especially the last 4 or 5 weeks, a second-half team.
I can't disagree with you there, and I'm sure the very few fans would disagree with you on that one either. Russell, as always, great pleasure. Good to visit with you and chat a little football, and we'll try this again next week.
Okay, John. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too, pal. All right, Russell Baxter, ESPN's NFL research coordinator with us inside the playbook. We'll get into timeout, and then we come back with your emails, your posts, your texts, your Facebook chats, your predictions. That's what we're looking for from the football game coming up this Sunday at Soldier Field in Chicago, right here inside the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057. And you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
So, Pat, how many AAdvantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn AAdvantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn AAdvantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/AAdvantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
You know, I mean, it's established in the Midwest, and I think it really helps out a lot of good causes.
Dump bears.
I mean,
dump bears.
Good charities such as
Dump Bears,
Make Donor House, Sickle Cell Anemia Midwest,
Bears,
UNCF,
Bears,
you know,
Bears.
I really think this is a good organization. You know, I just thought this would be a good time just to express my gratification about the whole state. You don't mind? I mean, I think it's very important. All
right. Polish sassy.
Okay. I mean, it's a family thing. I think. You know, my brothers in it.
Sassy.
Everybody.
Bears.
Yeah, I don't mind, dude.
One of my all-time favorites, Da Bears, from Saturday Night Live. George Went and company. One of the all-time greats. All right, welcome back inside the playbook. Hey, let's get to the phones. Doc's out on the left coast. Wants to chat a little bit. Doc, what's happening? You're in the playbook.
Hey, John, I talked to you a couple weeks ago.
Yes, sir.
My question is, in a fight between Mike Ditka and the D-Day Invasion Force, who would win? But seriously, how about Carl Crawford? Actually, I wanted to bask a little bit. I wasn't able to talk to you guys yesterday, so if I can plug your show and a few other shows.
Sure.
I'm out here on the West Coast, so I download the podcast.
Nice.
And I got to tell you, I was killing myself exercising, listening to the PFW pregame after having seen the game.
Right.
And I'm not making fun of Eric or any of the guys. No one saw this coming. And it's just kind of funny, you know, the biggest score anybody put was, okay, maybe a 10-point win, that'll be good. Maybe a 17-point win, oh, that's too much. So, but we'll leave that aside. And definitely people have not listened to the Pete Shepard show.
Right.
It is a pleasure from his opening hysterical laughter at the Jets. I will say there's one thing about Rex Ryan, though, and because I've had a lot of people comment, aren't you glad that he was shut up? Is I look at Rex Ryan as kind of Ocho Cinco. I don't think he's a vicious person. I think he's a joker in his way. But, you know, he said he wouldn't, you know, kiss Belichick's ring, but he didn't say, because they're all tainted with Spygate. You know, he didn't attack Brady. He was very differential. So I don't think people really hate him, nor should they. But and I got into a discussion with Paul, this was a few years ago. Some people can say things, and I had brought up an example I won't repeat on the air, the statement Big Poppy made during a Tito press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, maybe I'll say it as I'm going off the air and, you know, Doc can, or whoever your producer is can blow me up or something. But
stand by, Kev.
I don't know what it is. You know, I'll tell him before I sign out, and you can, in the senses of the way, I'll say it slow enough. But the bottom line is that Brady or Belichick or anyone said it, there'd be sensitivity training. But we all know Big Poppy's a teddy bear. And I think with Rex, he's not seen as a vicious guy. You know, I don't like the Jets. I hate the Jets. I hate New York, yada, yada. But he's just trying to do what he can to get his team going, which is, you know, basically bend the Red Sox to the Patriots, Yankees for the last 10 years.
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers?
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So, unfortunately, I didn't get to listen to your show or the guys beforehand, so
no worries.
On to the Bears.
Yeah, give me a prediction. What do you think?
I'm concerned.
Are you?
I'm concerned.
Because yeah.
It's going to – look, you know, I'd like to jump on the bandwagon. We're going to win everything. We're going to go to the World Series and all the other stuff that fans are shouting now. When, as you know, months before, we weren't going to make the playoffs.
Right.
By the way, none of us thought – well, in all fairness, Eric, as we said, nobody expected. We knew where the playoffs were going to be. It was going to be the Chargers. It was going to be Indy. It was going to be Pittsburgh. And it was going to be the Ravens. Maybe one other guy that we'll laugh at. And then the only question was, could the NFC, could Green Bay or Minnesota, would they be good enough to actually beat whoever came out of the AFC? Well, things changed. So going back to I don't think their quarterback's that good in Chicago, but I think the weather could minimize a lot of things. I will pick the Pats, but I think this is one they could drop. And then if they do drop it and the Jets slaughter Miami, which they can, you're going to hear crying from the Pink Hats of Patriots fandom because we'll be tied again. And what will be? Now we have to beat all our division opponents. Oh, no, we won't.
Oh, yeah,
it.
But that's what we do. That's what we do. We're you know, good complainers and good nitpickers. That's the New England sports fans have just about cornered the market on nitpicking, as far as I'm concerned. That's why we do Nitpick Tuesday, because that's what we do best. We second guess as good as well as any fandom out there.
Well, you know, and in some cases, I think it's a very legitimate point because, you know, going back to the season we won't mention, one of the things that concerned, I think, a lot of people, and you brought up in your nitpicks, was the fact that defense was, oh, we beat them 50-27.
Yep. Well,
you gave up 27, and they weren't all garbage touchdowns.
Right.
And then when they went into the playoffs, let's face it, had Phillip Rivers been healthy, and as I mentioned, Will Dame Thomas wasn't such a meow, we'd have all been crying about the Super Bowl we should have won.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But so I am a little concerned. I actually feel better about beating Green Bay, which I can't justify. I think Green Bay is a better team than the Bears, but Bears, but we will be at home, and they get an extra benefit from playing at home, as we all know.
All right.
I think Miami is going to be, unless Miami can see a chance to play spoiler against the Patriots, I think they're going to want to go home. I mean, it's the end of the season.
I would agree with that. I think there's every opportunity here to finish, you know, strong. I do think, as I said a little bit earlier on the show, Doc, that quite frankly, mm-hmm. that there's every opportunity for the Patriots to lose one of these next two. And if they manage to win here, does that mean I'm going to pick them to lose next week? I might. It really depends. I got to see the game on Sunday. I have to get a feel for what it's like. It depends largely on what the injury report looks like, because, you know, if the Patriots are still in position to be playing for that top seed, then do they decide to, you know, rest a few key guys? Or, I mean, what do they decide to do for the last two or three weeks of the season?
Well, yeah, you know, that's it. And for those predictions, a lot's going to depend on that, because, you know, and again, injuries. I mean, here I was dancing, thinking I wouldn't have to look at Phil Rivers, who I detest. And now what happens? Poor Matt Castle gets an appendicitis. So is he even going to play? Will he be effective? I think clearly, if we're able to win against Chicago, and if somehow Miami plays spoiler against the Jets, which they could do, now that wins us a playoff spot, does it lock up the division? It becomes very close to locking it up. And then you may get into a situation where Belichick might start considering that. But I don't think he's the type that's going to start, you know, pulling Tom Brady for the Buffalo game.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. That's good stuff. Very, very thorough. And, Doc, thank you for the phone call. Let me grab some other ones here before we run out of time, Doc. Thanks. We got Andrew in Sandy, Utah, and he sends this email. He says, John, it's so hard to go against the Pats this week, but I could see them losing this week. However, I don't think it would be a letdown game. Rather, I think the weather is what could make a difference. I think that because of the weather, it could go either way. I see a closer game than normal. One or two plays making all the difference. I have to pick the Pats still because they've been getting all the breaks, luck this year when they've needed it. I just wish it was being played in warmer conditions because I think the Pats would absolutely shred them. Just hope the cold helps Cutler throw from anywhere from 3 to 10 picks. Stupid double chin bum looking drunk. Can't stand him. Wow.
Tell us how you really feel.
No kidding. Thanks, Andrew. I like that. Gene in Daytona. Patriots will not lose again this year. Patriots 31, Bears 9. I'm glad to hear the negative words coming out of the Bears camp about the Patriots. The best way to beat an opponent I have found is kill him with kindness. Tell him how good he is. Not disrespect him, and then you cut his heart out. Today's NFL teams are too close in talent. Stats only count for so much. What it comes down to is desire. No one has more desire to win than Tom Brady. And when you have a bunch of overachievers, how can you have a letdown? I love Danny Woodhead. I told you last year we needed a Darren Sproles type halfback, and you said no, we need a big punishing back. I still think we need a big punishing back, but I'll take the Darren Sproles type for now because he is, you know, we have to end up having, I mean, we didn't know that Kevin Falk was going down, and now we've got an able replacement for Kevin Falk. James, I think the snow may throw my point off completely, but when the Patriots throw, it's almost always to the middle of the field, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the best part of the field because it gets used the most. I'll be at the game. Ooh, James. I'll be at the game cold, but I hope it's a game for the ages. 21-13 Patriots. I still have Brady going for 2 to 250, and the rushing game gets 150. I don't know that the rushing game gets that much, but I'll certainly give them 100, at least an effective 100. And I like the score prediction. I think that's probably pretty close. Dave is in the 508. He says, have you heard about Bob Lamy's comments about the Colts and Manning? Yes, we talked briefly about it here on the show. I guess he thought he was off the air and was saying he thought Manning should be benched and the rest of the NFL teams had figured him out. Personally, I think Lamy is one of the worst play-by-play guys out there. Whenever Manning gets intercepted or anything bad happens to the Colts, he stops calling the game and just grumbles and whispers. He's horrible. Apparently, Peyton Manning thinks the same way about him right about now. Omar in Atlanta. I think the Pats' offense will be too much for the Bears to handle. Pats will go up early, make the Bears' offense panic into mistakes later. If the Pats lose any of their last four, it may be against the Bills because it's at Buffalo. They have a random propensity to score a lot of points. Score for this Sunday, he says 21-12. The Bears will miss an extra point, score two field goals. Why can I make this prediction? Because I have nothing to lose, no repercussions, so I can be recklessly optimistic. Attaboy, Omar. I like it. It works for me. It's all good. Sean, the thing that concerns me the most on Sunday is the weather, especially if there are 30-mile-per-hour winds. Sean says 21-13 Pats. I think that seems to be a consensus here. TDs by means of the short passing game mixed with runs to keep the D honest. All right. Gina Daytona says again, Eric, are there plans to have O'Danny Woodhead center page in the newspaper? I have the Gronkowski hanging up in my garage. Would like to see the Woodhead next to it. And he says, P.S., John, my money is on you in the field goal contest. Oh, I think Eric and I should have a kickoff now.
I want in.
You want in too?
Oh, yeah.
All right, good. Well, then we'll all go out
within
there.
Within the last calendar year, I banged a 35-yarder.
No way. Yeah. You did?
And then I've tried that's from impressive. 40 with my buddy Holden, yeah. Like truly off the ground, no yeah, tee.
Right.
And I hit the crossbar a couple times.
See, I've slid under the yard from 40. My limit was 37.
Yeah.
37, for some reason.
So another, we're pretty much in
27
the
27-yard line is where I hit.
Yeah, we're in the same
but this
category.
But this has been 10 years ago that I hit a 37-yarder.
Yeah. So we're pretty much because I'm in the same category because, you know, 10 years ago you were my age, right?
Pretty much.
That's what I. My math leads me to believe that's correct.
Thank you for that. I act that way, don't I? Hey, you got to be young at heart. All right, here comes Dale who says, guys, I tuned in during the discussion of law of averages, and Pats are bound to lose one of these games. Someone mentioned history calls for it to happen. Which history? During the four Super Bowl years, the Pats ended their seasons hot. The latest loss in any of those years was against Miami on the road in that screwy Monday night game when Brady threw a pick late in the game and Troy Brown was beaten on a winning touchdown. I think that was November of 04. Next week was the drunken Joe Namath game in New York where the Pats won with several picks against our old friend Chad Pennington. They won out that year. Seems to me the Pats are in as good a shape to win the rest of their games as ever before. Chicago weather will be nasty. 34-mile-per-hour winds predicted, but I'm not sure the Bears get the edge in this game. Both teams can run. Both can stop the run if the likelihood of passing effectively is reduced. Have good tight ends. Have good kickoff returners. And the Bears have an idiot for a quarterback who would rather fight than switch. Receivers, that is. It's no guarantee for success, but the weather doesn't favor Chicago. Pats are a better squad. Well, Chicago plays in that weather all the time. I don't know how the weather doesn't favor Chicago. He says, how about this? If the Pats win this week, they'll get the Packers in town next, who might be a first-place team. That would make three straight weeks the Pats play a first-place team. It also drives the number of teams on the Pats schedule that have been first-place teams at one point or another to six. That's right, Jets, Steelers, Ravens, Colts, Bears, and with the appropriate events, the Packers. Dale's prediction, Pats 17, Bears 10. P.S., what does Russell Baxter have to say about his last week prediction for the Jets-Pats game? He performed his mea culpa, Dale. He performed his mea culpa. Adam, Rook, loved the game Monday night. Think I was standing up for the entire first half. I think we will use this game as the springboard and finish the season strong. I have a question. I'm relocating from Orlando to Fort Worth, Texas. Oh, he's going to God's country. Adam's going to God's country. Congratulations, Adam. As a Texas native, can you recommend any good places to catch the game this Sunday or any other great places to eat and get a good beer? Oh, my goodness. I have way too many to tell you. He's jerking my chain here, isn't he?
You could probably just write him an email or a Facebook message or something.
I probably will. Probably will. Adam, hit me up on Facebook. I'll let you know everywhere you need to go, all right? Trust me that if you're going to Fort Worth, congratulations. I would say you're safe living anywhere in and around the TCU area, honestly. It's good part of town. It's, middle class, upper middle class, good apartment rents. You got college co-eds. That's nothing, anything ever wrong with that. I don't care what your age is. Good businesses, good restaurants, great Mexican food, good barbecue. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. All right. Let's go with Sheila in Clearwater. Hello, Sheila. John, before I say my pick, living in Florida, I have gone snorkeling often. I know the big thing is to swim with the dolphins, but if you really want to get a great treat, try swimming with manatees. That was even better than the dolphins. The dolphins are trained to be gentle and to interact with people. Manatees are naturally like that and one of the most affectionate water animals. Oh, that's cool. I have to try that next. I've done the dolphins. Well, I have to do the manatees.
Yeah, they're big.
Yeah, they're big dudes. Man alive. That's tough. My pick this week is the Pats. If you knew me, this would not surprise you, as I can truly say I've never picked against the Pats. At the beginning of the year, I predicted 12-4. I had no idea which games they would lose, but logic tells me they were not going to go 16-0. And now before you call me crazy, let me explain my thinking. Sometimes I think we see the team a little too closely, because you guys see the off-season practices, rarely, the training camps, once because they don't let us see them, and the workouts, and you see who is there and talk to the players. Well, then you tend to be more critical because you saw the misplays and mistakes that are made in D coverage or drop balls. In theory, you're absolutely right. As a fan, I don't see that stuff, so I can ignore most of it and say, well, we have the best coach in football and the best quarterback, and we can beat everyone with that combo. Okay, so I'm a homer, a little naive. So what? Go Pats.
See, the thing is, though, people assume we get all this inside information and inside access. And
not as much as you think.
Bielo would be the first one to tell you there's not a whole lot of...
Not as much as we think, right,
Bielo? What are you talking about? I can tell you who the best stretcher on the Patriots is.
See?
I can tell you who stretches better than... I can
who is a
off.
World-class stretcher.
World-class stretcher, puts a lot into it. I can tell you who jogs to the first drill while we are leaving practice. I can tell you who does that the best.
Who sprints to practice
and
who jogs and who walks. That's
correct.
Right.
You get a unique view during training camp. However, I mean, the good thing about that is fans can come
and see
that too. So that's a pretty good perspective. During the season, not so much.
Jack says, John, I think this one goes a bit different than the last four. Instead of the Pats scoring big in the first half, then playing prevent the second, I think a jacked-up Bears team is going to start the game hot. They'll draw first blood, might even get a 7-10-point lead. However, once that happens, I see the Pats getting their heads right back at the game and come out shooting in the second half. Keys to the game, Matt Light and a tight end doubling Julius Peppers. Getting to Cutler, not allowing the quick passes. Mostly, Shane Graham has to kick accurately and not kick to Devin Hester. Special teams will have to step up big on returns. Pats 31, Bears 24. Excellent. Christopher. John, I haven't watched the Bears this year. I don't think I've seen a single snap. I'm told by a few friends they're not as good as their record. I've also heard Cutler struggled early in the season. Based on fear of the unknown, I'm a little worried about this game, but I still have to go with the Pats. I think we've just come into our groove. And despite the yards racked up against the D, I've come to expect a turnover or two every game. And these turnovers often come toward the end of a long drive, which explains the many yards given up versus the very few points given up. So he goes, Patriots 31, Bears 19.
On the flip side, too, the Patriots haven't turned the ball over in their last four games.
No,
which
they
helps.
Have not. Brady's streak continues. Knock on Formica. Joshua says on Facebook, love Patriots playbook. Thank you, Joshua. Remember the last time the Pats played the Bears and Brady ran for the first down and juked out Brian Urlacher? I do remember that. Pats will prove the haters wrong again, and remember what Jay Cutler will we see? The one who threw four picks to the Skins or the average Cutler? He says Pats 28, Bears 13. So what does Bielo say?
I say that really all the little factors that you've mentioned even in the last 2 minutes all come into play. I think the turnover differential is almost too simple, but it's so true. Win the turnover battle, and the Patriots have been doing that just about as well as anyone else. Like you said, they've been giving up yards, but then they come up with the big turnover, and then offensively, they simply don't give the ball away. Brady's on just such a tough stretch, such a great stretch right here.
Right.
And, you know, that's really the key. I mean, there's a lot of little game-within-the-game matchups, I think, and I do think that the Peppers one is huge, but guys like Lance Briggs, Brian Urlacher, Israel Adonijay are guys who are coming up really big for Chicago while teams focus on Peppers. So it's a tough defensive matchup. Also, Bears first in the league on third down defense.
Defense,
the Patriots have one of the best third down offenses. I think that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. So it's just hard to go against the Patriots and what they're doing right now. Really, you know, they've gone into some games at Pittsburgh. Oh, man, I mean, this is going to be a tough game. How are they going to do this when they blow them out? Indy, you know, Manning. Oh, boy, Manning, you know, he's had the number of recent years. They beat that. I mean, really, just week after week, they're coming up big. So hard to go against them.
I thought Paul Perillo actually said it best right at the end of PFW today when he said, you know, I'm at the stage now where, you know, they keep winning and they keep surprising. And so until they actually lose, I'm not sure they're capable.
Right.
So I'm going to take them this week.
And it's, you know, you look at this game as a losable game, short week, on the road, team you haven't played in a while, potential letdown,
sure.
All these little factors that come into play. But what's where is there one reason to think that the that's going to phase the Patriots?
I know,
I mean, you know
it
hasn't they're going to be prepared.
It hasn't yet.
And you expect that they're going to be prepared for whatever situation it is. And until they prove otherwise,
right.
You've got to assume they'll come up big again.
All right. How about the fantasy lowdown?
Fantasy
brother?
Lowdown. You know, we're really looking at the last week of the regular season, right. Fantasy regular season this week. So a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure for a lot of people to try to make their way in. And
I'm feeling it.
As always, a lot of storylines. Looking at Kansas City this week with Matt Cassel maybe not playing. How does that affect Dwayne Bowe? You look at Minnesota, you know, maybe that offense is better off with Tavares Jackson, and maybe you want to pick him up. A lot of little storylines. Want to hear from people who have tough key decisions to make for their lineup this week.
Also, a lot of big decisions to be made tonight. Big fantasy game tonight.
Right, big fantasy tonight? Game yeah. Tonight. 4 hours away. We'll talk about that for sure.
All right. Good All stuff right. coming All right, up. Josh. All right. Couple of things just to remember before Sunday here. Number one, Patriots 15-2 after the win on Sunday or Monday night. Excuse me. 15-2 now since 93 when the kickoff temperature is below 30.
It's going to be below 30.
It will definitely be
It will
below
be below
30,
30 at Soldier Field. Yeah.
At Soldier Field. All right. So there you go. That's one thing to remember. Number two, series history. Not really a lot. Significant in Chicago's realm because of the Super Bowl 20 win.
Oh, did they face each other in the
Super
Bowl?
Yeah. But this is the seventh.
I don't think I was alive for that game.
God. Oh. See, you had to say that now. You just totally ruined it for me. Thanks,
and
Kevin.
Thanks. I think.
Thanks.
I mean, what, you don't know your birthday?
When's your birthday?
I don't think. No, it was November 6th of 85.
You were alive.
Okay. Barely.
You were alive. You were okay. Almost 3 months old.
Right, because that was the end of January 86.
Okay, so it was 86.
Yeah, right, very good.
So I was a baby. So I was alive, so don't feel that bad.
You were alive.
That would have been January 26 of 86. Okay. But this is the seventh trip for the Patriots to Soldier Field since 1970. First time, though, since it was remodeled prior to the 2003 season. The last time the Patriots made a trip to Soldier was in 2000, and the Patriots lost 24-17. Since then, they've played in Champaign, Illinois, won by 3-0-2. And then, of course, they won here at Gillette Stadium 17-13 in 06. The last time these teams played in the regular season, Pats hold a 7-3 advantage over the Bears in the 11th meeting between the two teams during the regular season. We'll talk about it next week, figure out how they made it out. And then we got the Packers coming in. NFC Norris Division coming in next week with the Green Bay Packers. All right, we've got Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe coming up next. Same patch time, same patch channel. Tuesday, kids, in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.